Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. And today we learn Psalm 135. Psalm 135 and 136, which should be seen as one unit, are called by Chazal Hallel Hagadol, the great prayer of praise, which parallels similar themes in language we find in Psalms 113 to 118 called Hallel HaMitzri, the praise of God from Egypt. Both types of Hallel are recited on Pesach night at the Seder. The first Hallel and this one here have many parallels, often using the same words to express the futility of the nations worshiping wood and stone, whereas Israel, house of Aaron, house of Levi, house of God-fearers, they bless God. For example, more parallels in Psalm 135, verses 15 to 20, we find an almost word-for-word repetition of Psalm 115, verses 4 to 13, and thus they're quite similar. One difference appears to be the very first words of our psalm here in verse 2. She'omdim b'beit Hashem b'chatzrot beit Elohim. Those who are standing in the house of God in the courts of our Lord. This expression reminds us of the preceding psalm we just read, Psalm 134, which begins with Ha'omdim b'beit Hashem b'alelot. Those who serve God standing in the house of God at night. It would appear that this psalm in particular, much like the previous one, is calling out to the servants of God, the priests and Levites, to bless God's name, and then gives the reasoning behind that quest. Whereas Hallel HaMitzri does not denote a location from where the praising of God takes place, our psalm begins and prominently positions the praise in the temple from the mouths of the leaders, the Levites, and the priests, the servants of God, who call out consistently in praise. On some level, the entire corpus of the Psalter, all of Tehillim, is a reflection of this idea, that all of the psalms were sung in the temple by the Levites as an expression of praise to God, or prayer for God's intervention, or educating the nation. They all serve the same purpose of tying the people of Israel together through their connection with the temple and their subservience to God as the one Redeemer. Psalm 135 offers three verses of introduction to praise God, and then three verses of explanation as to why praises should be directed towards God at all times. Ki tov Hashem, ki Yaakov bachar, ki gadol Hashem. Because God is good, because God chose Jacob, because I know that God is greater than all. The first reason is the objective good that is attributed to God, tov Hashem. The second is the reason that I'm included in this story. I'm a child of Yaakov, who was chosen. The third is the most subjective of all. I have come to know God is indeed great and greater than all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, shem Adonai, elu avdei Adonai, shomdim b'veit Adonai b'chatzot beit Eloheinu. Hallelujah, ki tov Adonai zamru lishmo ki na'im. Ki Yaakov bachar lo ya Yisrael esgulato. Ki ani adati ki gadol Adonai v'adoneinu mikol Elohim. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good, sing praises to his name. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to himself, and Israel is his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and the Lord is above all gods. The second section pans some of the activities God has done to give a glimpse of the reason to praise him. The first two verses speak of creation, though in a bit of an indirect, somewhat cryptic manner. Next, he mentions the final plague in Egypt, and then sing the signs and wonders therein. The conquering of great nations in the desert, including large swaths of land in Transjordan, and the bequeathing of those lands as inheritance to Israel, his nation. We must note that the subsequent psalm follows the exact pattern in singing out to God with the refrain, Ki li'olam chasdo, for his kindness is everlasting. This psalm, this seems to prove that the psalms are joined together as a two-part of the same message. Where in our psalm, there's a minor version of the great acts of God, which is fully expanded in the second section. This accounts for the truncated version of God's deeds, but doesn't explain why specifically these areas were represented while others ignored. This I hope to discuss in the next psalm. Verses 6 to 12 say as follows. Kol asher chafetz Adonai asa b'shamayim v'aretz b'yamim v'chol tomot ma'ale nisim mikzeh ha'aretz brakim l'matar asa motze ruach me'otzotav. Whatever the Lord wished, he did in heaven and earth and the seas and the deep places. He caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings forth from the wind all the storehouses. This is this version, this psalm's version of creation. And then he continues, he slew the firstborn of Egypt. Signs and wonders and miracles and plagues in Egypt. He slew great nations and mighty kings. And gave their land for a heritage to his people. Commentators attempt to explain why the plague of the firstborn is presented before the other plagues, which preceded it chronologically. Meiri says that the most important plague was the slaying of the firstborn, on the count of which they escaped from Egypt. Therefore, it was presented first. Ibn Ezra explains that the miracle was twofold, and that while the Egyptian firstborn humans and animals were killed, the Israelites did not suffer the same fate to be called an anes betoch nes. The final section begins by calling out to God directly. Hashem, Shimcha Leolam, Adonai Shimcha Leolam, Adonai Zuchacha Ledor Vador. Here it expands from the past greatness to an eternal nature. The psalmist speaks of God's relationship with his nation, includes the idea that God judges Israel and ultimately will be comforted by them even after their sins. The psalmist sets up a contrast between nations of the world who bow down to gods of wood and stone, whereas Israel calls out to God alone. Ki adin Adonai amot v'alada avadav yitnecham. For God will judge the cause of his people and he relent concerning his servants. Or he will judge his people. Atzabei agoyim kesef zahav ma'aseh yidei adam. The idols of nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Pelahem b'lo yidaberu, anayim lehem b'lo yiru aznayim. I once had a congregant named Leon Kahn who used to chuckle every time he read this, and he said that it really means they have mouths that they can't speak and eyes that they cannot see their ears. But that's not how it's actually read. It's read the eyes that they cannot see. And then in verse 17 it says, Oznaim velo yazinu, ears they cannot hear. Af ein yesh ruach behem v'fiyem. They have no speech in their mouth, or they have no breath in their mouth. Kamoim yihu osehem. They're man-made idols. Kol asher boteach behem. People make these idols, and then they believe and have faith in them. Beit Yisrael b'chu et Adonai, Beit Aron b'chu et Adonai, Beit Levi b'chu et Adonai, Yered Adonai b'chu et Adonai. O house of Israel, bless God. House of Aaron, bless God. House of Levi, bless God. Fearers of God, bless God. Baruch Adonai, Mitzion, Shechen Yishalayim, Hallelujah. God blesses. God is the blessed one from Zion. Hallelujah. Psalm 135 calls out to those standing in the house of God to sing, praise, rejoice, and trust in God. It provides the historical points of God's miracles and reminds us to take pride in being part of God's nation. That identity comes with a measure of judgment. After all, to be chosen is a great gift and great responsibility. For this reason, it reminds God and us that ultimately, not only do the priests trust in God and the Levites praise and trust, and not only does the entire house of Israel place their trust in God, but all of them must embody true Yirat Hashem, fear of God, to be worthy of the ultimate divine response. Baruch Hashem Etzion Shochein Yishalayim Eloyah. God blesses his nation from Jerusalem where he dwells. And for this, we say, Hallelujah, praise God.